BBC Listen.
Hey there, my name's Emily and you're listening to Newstime.
Hello, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
And hello to Newstime listener legend, Levi.
Hi, my name is Levi and I'm 7 years old. I live in Armstrong Creek, the land of the Wathaurong people. Hi, Emily. The best news is your news. Thanks for making our Fridays the best. Yeah!
If you'd like to be a listener legend like Levi, find out how to apply at the end of the podcast. But before we get there, we have 5 fantastic stories to explore. We'll hear how Australian grapes are staying sun-safe, and we'll meet a man named Bruce who stumbled upon a fossil. Plus, we'll hear our wow of the week, a story guaranteed to make you say wow. All right, are you ready?
I can't wait. Story number 5.
Temperatures in central New South Wales have been soaring lately, reaching around 45 degrees Celsius. That's so hot. How do you keep cool on hot days?
Drink water with ice in it.
Go to a beach.
Yeah, I love swimming in the ocean on a hot day. Often we're able to seek shelter from the heat, but for farmers, it can be really tough protecting their livestock, like chickens and also their fruit and vegetables.
The chickens could go to a beach too.
The animals can pee on another animal.
I don't know about that one.
They could just put like a sprinkler and then the water or the food and stuff.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion and one the farmers have actually been doing. A free-range egg farmer has been hosing down the shed and shade cloth to help his chickens cope in the heat.
Refreshing.
It would feel good because they would probably be really hot.
And for farmers who grow grapes, they're protecting their produce by whipping out a technique you might be extra familiar with. The trusty slip, slop, slap right onto their grapes.
Weird.
Sunscreen doesn't taste very good.
It certainly doesn't, but I'm sure you wouldn't be able to taste it once it's been washed off. Farmers are using a special kind of sunscreen, one that's made from clay. They've applied it to the grapes and vines, and it acts a little bit like a mirror, reflecting the infrared and ultraviolet rays from the sun. It helps keep the temperatures nice and low. It can be really stressful for farmers when the weather is extreme, because it makes it harder to keep their animals and produce healthy.
So they can live, the farmers can sell stuff at shops and get some money and stuff.
So that they can eat the food that they grow.
That's right. In fact, we all rely on farmers to keep us fed and healthy. Hopefully some cooler weather is coming their way.
Story number 4.
A group of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander kids have just returned from an awesome overseas excursion. The primary school students from Mamgingana Gambangir in Coffs Harbour, New South Wales, visited Aotearoa, also known as New Zealand, where they learnt about Indigenous language, culture and history. The trip was an opportunity to join Waitangi Day celebrations and meet students who attend a Maori immersion school. The Maori are the Indigenous peoples of Aotearoa, and an immersion school means all subjects are taught in Maori language, not English.
So they can learn stuff about their culture?
At the moment, students from Mamgingana Gambangir have some subjects taught in Gambangir language, but the school is transitioning to full immersion too. That means all classes will be taught in language. Gambangir is one of the many Aboriginal languages spoken across Australia.
Not all of them are actually spoken anymore. I think only like a few are still around, and there used to be like double that.
Yeah, there are more than 250 Indigenous languages and 800 dialects across the country. Teaching language helps to keep it strong.
So if they're Aboriginal, they can learn the language that their family speaks.
When Australia was colonised, many Indigenous people were forced to learn English and stop speaking their native languages. But immersion schools allow language to keep being spoken and teach children about their heritage. While the Mamgingana Gambangir kids were in Aotearoa, they also joined Waitangi Day celebrations, a day to acknowledge the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi in 1840, which is considered Aotearoa's founding document. The students were able to see how the treaty has supported Māori-led education and also learn about the ongoing challenges the Māori people still face.
Story number 3.
Before houses and roads were built in Brisbane's inner suburb of Albion, it used to have a quarry full of sandstone rocks. It was the perfect place for people to explore, especially for local Bruce Runniger. Many years ago, in 1958, when Bruce was in high school, he was visiting the quarry when he discovered a fossil.
An old artifact that's normally a bit dried out can be pretty broken, fragile, and tells us about the past.
I think a fossil is like an old bone.
Yeah, fossils are the preserved remains or traces of remains of once living things. They can be bones, impressions, or traces of an animal or plant. The fossil Bruce found is a dinosaur footprint and is believed to be about 230 million years old. Pretty ancient. Bruce actually went on to become a professor in paleontology.
Probably a guy who finds fossils.
Studies fossils?
Yeah, a paleontologist is someone who studies fossils. Bruce has been working and teaching for the past 60 years, and all this time he's been carrying around and showing students the fossilised dino footprint he found all the way back in 1958.
Because he liked doing that stuff?
Because his students might think it's like cool and stuff.
In 2021, Bruce decided to reach out to a colleague, paleontologist Anthony Ramilio from the University of Queensland's Dinosaur Lab, to find out what species of dinosaur left this footprint. The two determined that the footprint came from a type of dinosaur called the sauropodomorph. It would have been about 144 kilograms, so that's about as heavy as a panda, and it could have run up to 60 kilometres per hour. That's as fast as a tiger. Dr. Ramilio used a software to create a three-dimensional map of the fossil and a picture of what the dinosaur would have looked like.
Got a lot of scales. It's pretty long and it's pretty big in the middle of its body and short at the end and at the start.
Stripes look like a tiger.
It looked like an anteater.
But then how did they know that it was the footprint? Because you can't even see its feet.
Probably not real, because how can they take a picture like million BC years ago?
You're right. It's not a real picture of the actual dinosaur, but the software I was talking about uses years of research and information to create the image. The dinosaur would have lived in the Carnian period, some 230 million years ago, which would make it the oldest known footprint fossil in Australia. Professor Bruce Runniger believes there may be more fossils hiding around Brisbane, so maybe we all need to put our paleontologist caps on and go for a little search.
It would take absolutely years.
I probably wouldn't find anything, so no.
Bruce has since donated the fossil to the Queensland Museum so it can be used for research and education. Good on you, Bruce.
Story number 2.
When floods threaten communities, people often have to be evacuated to safety.
A lot of water goes around everywhere.
And the water comes up so much that it can actually cover the streets, and it's pretty devastating.
Yeah, that's what happened recently in the remote Northern Territory community, Daly River, also known as Nayu. Unfortunately, when people have to leave their homes in a hurry, sometimes they can't take their pets with them. Ingrid Schreiner and her family live just outside Daly River and know how stressful regular flood evacuations can be. She felt especially concerned for the animals that may be left behind.
Because they have empathy for the animals.
They're living things too.
Before the evacuation was announced, Ingrid and her children drove to Darwin to pick up extra supplies, like dog food and construction equipment, so they could build emergency kennels. Ingrid's partner John built the kennels while the others drove to Daly River to pick up the animals. The roads were already difficult to drive on, so they had police help them to make sure they were safe. They ended up rescuing 10 dogs, as well as a little cat that approached them just as they were leaving. They then took all the animals back to their house.
They felt good.
They probably felt better that they weren't inside a house with no one.
What Ingrid and her family did was extraordinary and it helped a lot of animals. But it's important to stay away from floods and listen to official directions from police and other authorities. Floods are very dangerous. Ingrid and her family had permission to carry out their rescues with the help of police. And now it's time for...
Wow of the Week.
This story made me go wow because I never thought someone would make their own country.
Daniel Jackson isn't your usual 21-year-old. The young Australian has created his own country in Europe and has named himself as the country's president.
Very cool. I want to do that.
He's probably going to have to spend a lot of money.
I wonder what he would call it.
It's called Virtus, and the country is sandwiched between Croatia and Serbia on a piece of unclaimed land on the Danube River. The country is very small, at just half a square kilometre in size. That's as big as about 50 soccer fields. It's called a micronation.
A small nation?
A small country?
Daniel invented the country when he was only 14 years old, after he realised the land was uninhabited. Neither Croatia or Serbia wanted it. It actually started as a joke with his mates, but now Daniel says it's his full-time job. The country has 100 citizens called Virdicians. It has its own flag and passports. And as it's a new country, it has its own rules. If you made a country, what rules would you create?
I don't know. I would probably put like a bunch of water parks in it and stuff.
Heaps of sports fields.
Put nothing in it except for me.
Sports fields, water parks and isolation. That actually sounds cool. However, creating a country has been a little more difficult than Daniel first imagined. He had to create an entire government. So now the country has a foreign minister and an internal affairs manager. It even has two offices based in the UK and Serbia, with volunteers working there. Now Daniel is calling for other countries and governments to officially recognise Virtus. So, would you move to a micronation?
I don't know, maybe if like the guy who owns it is like good.
I think his idea of making a micronation is cool.
Daniel says more people are joining the nation and he's pretty positive it will be internationally recognised very soon. He's keen for a sports team and maybe even participation in future Eurovision song contests. And it's quiz time. Let's see how much you remember. Question 1. What are the grape growers putting on their grapes to protect them from the sun? Sunscreen. Question 2. What country did the school kids travel to? Aotearoa or New Zealand. Question 3. What type of dinosaur did the fossilised footprint belong to? A sauropodomorph. Question 4. How many animals did Ingrid and her children save from Daly River? 10 dogs and 1 cat. Question 5. What is the name of the micronation? It's Virtus. And that's a wrap for this week's News Time. If you'd like to be a News Time listener legend, ask your grown-ups to head to the News Time page on the ABC Kids Listen website.
Thanks, Emily.
Bye. Catch you next time.
Well, I'm off to go look for some fossils. See you next time. News Time is an ABC Kids Listen podcast. For other awesome podcasts to play, music to move to, and stories and soundtracks for sleep, head to the Kids tab on the ABC Listen app. It's free from your App Store.